Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
We welcome you to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Tim Tarantine here, so happy to be sitting next to my partner, Amanda Harrison. Amanda, another conversation, another great example of leadership and economic development. Tell us all about it.
All right, so this is another unique conversation that I had this week. I spoke with Doug Rasmussen. The cool thing about Doug is that when we nominated him for the Top 50 Economic Developers, he in fact was an economic developer with the St. Louis County Economic Council. He was the vice president of that role. However, since the time of nomination to where we are at today, Doug has actually moved on and over to the field of site selection.
Wow.
So now he's with Duff & Phelps, still in St. Louis, and he really brings awesome conversation today about the transition from the economic development side of the table to the site consulting side. And he talks a little bit about his experience in both realms. So I hope you will enjoy this conversation. He's a great leader in the industry, and obviously he has really unique perspective on this podcast. So take a listen. Hey, Doug, thank you so much for joining us today on From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We are so excited to have you here, and I understand you have kind of a unique perspective to offer us today, as you were an economic developer at the time you received this nomination and this award. However, since then, you've transitioned and you're now working on the site selection side for Duff and Phelps. So before we really dive into our conversation today, can you tell us a little bit about your transition and where you are now?
Yes, yeah, definitely, Amanda. Thank you. So, yeah, I was very gracious to receive the award from Consultant Connect in January. And not long after that, in February of 2015, I decided to really get focused again on almost exclusively on the deal making side of this and went over to Duff & Phelps. And I was fortunate to join that organization, a great team. And I've known the practice leader for Duff & Phelps, Greg Burkhart, for a long time, as well as Neil Wishhouse, who runs the St. Louis office. And that's where I'm based. And from a transition point of view, it's been a great transition. I mean, a lot of the experience that I've had both in commercial real estate development and also in regional economic development here in the St. Louis marketplace was a great sort of foundation for going over and working on the private side.
It's awesome to hear about your transition. We're excited for you in this new season, and we can't wait to see what that brings. Can you tell us initially, how did you get involved in this field of economic development?
Well, that's a great question. I was actually on a site visit yesterday, and I was in the Southeast, and I was talking and kind of joking at lunch with the economic developer in that region, because I think one of the common themes that, which I think makes this a great field, is that there's really no one direct path or sort of prescribed path to get into the field. I mean, people come from all different backgrounds, experiences, whether it's out of the government sector, corporate sector, and I think for me, I'm a lot like probably a lot of people in the field, where the field found me as opposed to me maybe pursuing it. I started out in the transportation and logistics industry and got interested in urban issues and did that for a while, but then sort of felt like I needed more. And I got interested in urban issues, and I came down to St. Louis in the late 90s to study urban planning. And out of that, found my way into economic development and business development. And so it wasn't really a linear route per se, but it was one that I think was very fruitful. And certainly, like a lot of folks in the industry, I think they kind of fall into it in a way. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. We hear that all the time, actually, that people just kind of fall into this field. But thank you for the recap on how you got to where you are today. Now that we know a little bit about your professional background, I'd love to know something everyone should know about you aside from your work. So what do you maybe like to do when you're not at the office?
Well, here's probably the most interesting nugget that I can throw out there. You know, as interesting as it is, I may not be that interesting to most people, but I am also an entrepreneur, and I run a management and booking agency in the music industry. And so one of the things that I do on the side In addition to working in this great field, is I run a company called Mighty City Music Management. I manage four artists and bands, one from St. Louis, and then the other three are in Georgia and South Carolina. And I'm an agent for a woman who's an Americana musician. Her name's Hannah Aldridge, and she's from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And her dad is actually a famous composer. He wrote 21 number one songs that famous country musicians cut, Travis Tritt and some other folks like that, Conway Twitty. And so if you saw Hannah Aldridge in 2015, there's a very good chance that I was responsible for getting her to your city and the venue that you saw her in. Music's been a lifelong passion of mine, and so I feed that passion through a very small company that I run.
That's awesome. That is such a good piece of information about you.
Yeah.
So with all that you have participated in with your business that you just told us about, your music management and your career in economic development, and now onto site selection, how do you define success for yourself as a leader?
That's a great question. I think probably a couple ways to answer that. First of all, I think leadership is about, being humble and not feeling like you need to really promote yourself. I feel like if your accomplishments are impressive, and probably more importantly, if they impact people in a positive way, then I think the recognition will just follow itself. And so, I think that's a big lesson for leaders out there, is to make sure that they don't get too focused on trying to get themselves to a point where all they do is just promote themselves. And it's as important or more important to really promote your team and the people that work for you. Most recently, before getting into the site selection with Duff and Phelps, I was running a team at the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, and we just had a fabulous group there. We had someone on the group who got a part of that Boeing 777X project, who just did a phenomenal job. Not all of that went to Washington. We had another woman on the team who was younger, in her early 30s, and got two new market tax credit allocations, which is a hugely competitive project. We had a CDE at the partnership. And so there were people on that group that what I try to do is just provide a vision and inspiration, and more so almost management by getting out of the way, as opposed to trying to, be someone who didn't recognize the skills and talents that they had. And so I think, like any good leader, you almost have to look at yourself like a manager of a baseball team as opposed to a player. And so your role is to put the best nine people on the field. And every player has a different skill set. There's some players who hit home runs, there's some who can steal bases, there's some who can play four positions, there's some who are great pitchers. And so you have to recognize where your team and everybody, and this includes me as a leader as well. I mean, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. And so I'm a big proponent of focusing on your strengths and then building the team around you that augments those strengths and frankly, probably augments a lot of your weaknesses, right? And that way, as a group, you can all mesh and interact and work most effectively together. And I think in St. Louis, at the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, we just got some tremendous work done within the first year and a half of that organization. That was an organization that was created out of the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County's economic development groups. And there was just a great group there that just did a lot of tremendous work.
So for our last question today, I would love to hear your perspective. You mentioned your leadership philosophy of putting together a team like a baseball team, having the right nine players on the field. So this is a little bit inside baseball, but what do you think economic developers should really be focusing on when they're working on projects, when they're trying to bring a new company to their community? From your perspective as a site consultant, what do you think economic developers are maybe missing and need to be focusing on?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's been interesting being on this side of the table because, when I was on the other side, and I definitely worked in a business attraction, regional economic development environment, I think when you're in that role, you're programmed to really sell the community, paying it as positively as you possibly can, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that I think from a consultant's point of view that's really helpful when interacting with the economic development community, if we've got an RFI that's out to the community and we've got questions, or if we're on a site visit, every community has blemishes, right? So, I mean, you can go to any community in the world, and there's positives and negatives. And one of the things, I mean, this is going to sound real simplistic, but for example, on a project I'm working on now, we RFP'd 9 communities, and actually on this project, we're down to 4. On the 9 responses we got back in RFPs, there were some pretty basic, simple things like, we want the proposal in this format, or even just asking a very specific question, like one of the ones was about just give me the latest data on your crime rates, okay? And that's something we could look up too, but we want to just ask the communities to present that data back to us. And certainly there was, you know, a few communities that honestly, I guess they felt like maybe they had issues around that area, and they told me all the things that they were doing to fight crime as opposed to just telling me the answer. And so I think one of the things I would recommend is just give us the information. And if there's a negative, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And any one factor goes into a stew pot of multiple factors that are scored and weighted with our clients on a kind of a matrix basis. And so we'd much rather just have an open and honest discussion, dialogue, or feedback on an RFP as opposed to getting sort of the flowery response and all the things we're trying to do to fix it, you know, right. response. And then I would say the same when it goes to the site visits. We'll always come into a market and we'll have researched the market, and usually we'll know things that are very positive. Obviously, if we're on a site visit, we feel very strongly about that community. You know, a couple of blemishes here and there aren't going to scuttle the project. I guess the message I would say is there's so much that goes into an ultimate decision, whether it's data-driven, qualitative, or even emotional from the sense of our clients who are ultimately making the decision. It's usually better just to deal with an issue completely openly and honestly.
Excellent advice. Doug, thank you so much for taking the time to share that unique perspective with us. We want to congratulate you again on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. And thanks, Amanda, for your time. And thanks again for this great award. I'm very honored to have received it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.